Welcome to the Your Dating Bestie podcast. I'm Ellie Klein, your best friend for all things dating. As a professional dating mentor, kind of like the love child of Carrie Bradshaw and Crocodile Dundee, I help women go from dating sucks to dating success with my unique best friend approach. Ready to find your Mr. Right? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Hello, and welcome to episode 24, MAFS 2024, from a dating expert's perspective, week 3. Oh boy, where do I start? A few heavy things happened this week, but before I talk about them, I need to remind you that these observations are based on the show and not the people themselves. I can only comment on what I see. I don't know anyone personally. Also, as a professional dating mentor, I work with women who are looking for love with a man, so that's who my advice is directed towards. I'm only going to talk about 4 couples this week. The first couple is Natalie and Collins. As predicted, they barely made it through the commitment ceremony. Natalie said leave, Collins said stay. Natalie stayed until the next day when she tried to connect with Collins one last time, and it just wasn't working. I'll be honest, I feel a little sorry for Collins. I think he received a bad edit. I don't think he's a bad guy. And to be fair, he was paired with a woman who, understandably, was still grieving just weeks after her father's passing. Married at First Sight probably wasn't the right place for her at that time. But Collins does seem to have trouble being genuine and honest. For that reason, there was nothing there for Natalie. She did the right thing by calling it quits. Now, let's talk about Cassandra and Tristan, or more specifically, Tristan. It was heartbreaking to hear gorgeous, sweet, adorable Tristan say he hated himself. He thinks he's unattractive, and he couldn't name one thing he liked about himself. Naturally, Cassandra is able to rattle off a list of things she likes about Tristan, which was so sweet. But this isn't Cassandra's problem. This is only something Tristan can fix, and he needs to fix it on his own. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of him. He needs to prioritize working on his self-esteem, ideally with the help of a good counselor. Otherwise, he'll never be able to have a functional relationship with anyone. I truly believe Tristan will eventually find love, get married, have kids, and live happily ever after. But he's nowhere near ready for that at this stage, while Cassandra is probably ready to find her life partner or husband. For this reason, I don't see it working out for them. Moving on to Ellie and Ben. Apparently, after talking to one of his siblings and hearing his niece and nephew in the background, Ben had an epiphany. All of a sudden, he realized he does want to have kids. 2 words, bull crap. He only said that so he could stay on the show. If Ellie knew he didn't want kids or didn't want kids with her, their fake TV marriage would be over, and he wants as much airtime as possible. Now, I'm not going to have a go at him for wanting to be on TV. Pretty much every single one of these people wants to be on TV. It's an incredible experience and promotional opportunity. I'm sure Ben was also genuinely open to finding love, but he hasn't found it with Ellie, even though, objectively, he's kind of punching above his weight. She's just not the right woman for him. He even tried to have a quiet word with her about that, and she went and blabbed about it to everyone. And as much as I like Ellie, I'm not convinced she sees herself with him either. They're both forcing it for the sake of the show. That's the trouble with having a fake marriage on a TV show. On the one hand, it forces you to get to know someone you might not have given that kind of time to, which is a good thing. One of the most common dating mistakes is not giving enough people a chance. On the other hand, it forces you to keep trying to make it work with someone you know for a fact isn't right for you. Okay, we've talked about Natalie and Collins, Cassandra and Tristan, Ellie and Ben, and now finally, and most importantly, Sarah and Tim. This week, Sarah gave us a what not to do masterclass in conflict resolution, especially when dealing with a partner as self-aware and solution-focused as Tim. Apparently, Tim had taken the time to organise a special date 3 weeks in a row. And 3 weeks in a row, Sarah blew him off to hang out with her girlfriends or do something else. When Tim very calmly and assertively expressed his disappointment about this, Sarah didn't acknowledge his feelings, show any remorse, or genuinely apologise for hurting him. Instead, she got defensive and blamed him for being oversensitive. Then, at the dinner party, she was being quite verbally aggressive and talking over him. And when she accused him of not doing something, he finally lost it and screamed, "Yes, I did!" She got up, stormed off, and yelled at him from across the room to never raise his voice to her like that again. It was ironic that she was yelling at him to stop yelling at her. Tim was not proud of himself. He didn't try to justify it, even though everyone loses their cool once in a while. He felt immediate remorse. Explosive is not how he sees himself and not the kind of person he wants to be. When he and Sarah started trying to talk again, he was really calm and genuinely apologized to her. And she threw it right back in his face. He was humble enough to say, "I'm sorry," which is not something everyone's great at, but sadly, she wasn't great at accepting his apology. Instead, she had another go at him when she should have said, "Thank you. I really appreciate that. You're forgiven. And I'm sorry for talking over you and being inconsiderate of your feelings." That's when you're supposed to kiss and make up. But when Sarah didn't hold up her end of the conflict resolution bargain, they just ended up arguing again. And she blamed it all on him. Again. Zero accountability. Now, I'll admit I've been Sarah to some extent in the past, but I reached a point where I never wanted to be Sarah ever again. I even went to counselling to learn more effective conflict resolution techniques. David and I have had a handful of big fights in our 8 years together so far, which is inevitable in even the best life partnerships or marriages. But we've always been committed to resolving things ASAP and getting back to a place of harmony. The desire to resolve conflict quickly, easily, and fairly is one of the most important qualities to look for in a partner. Tim seems to have it. Sarah doesn't. Now, if you want to have a much quicker and smoother journey to Mr. Right than I did, here's my number one tip. Stop passively consuming dating advice and start actively learning how to date more effectively. Dating advice alone won't help you find love. All these articles, podcasts, videos, books, and courses are actually keeping you stuck. You don't need more information. You need implementation, someone to help you apply the advice. That's why I take a unique best friend approach to helping my clients find love. Inside the Your Dating Bestie community, you'll receive my step-by-step blueprint for finding Mr. Right, but more importantly, 24/7 access to me to help you implement it. You'll also receive a professionally written dating profile to make you irresistible online. And you'll be welcomed into a supportive group of like-minded ladies. No more going it alone or trying to figure out this whole dating thing by yourself. Care to join us? It all starts at yourdatingbestie.com. Are you an attractive, intelligent, and fun-loving woman with a big heart and you can't figure out why you're still single? Well then, my free report has all the answers. It's called Why You're Still Single: 7 Reasons a Luscious Lady Like You Hasn't Found Her Mr. Right Yet. Just visit yourdatingbestie.com.